Do you know what your partner's up to when you're away and they're all alone?
No, what?
They're listening to the Screw podcast, of course.
What's that?
Sit back, relax, and listen.
And you're an orgasm addict. You're an orgasm addict. Sneaking in the back door with daddy magazines. So your mother wants to know what all the stains on the jeans. And you're an orgasm addict.
And four and five. Welcome to the Screw.
Welcome to the Screw. Gobble, gobble.
I'm Felicia Rose.
And I am the trusty, rusty, musty. No, not musty. Musky. Alev.
Hi, Alev. How are you?
Good. I'm so excited. We're about to go to New Orleans and celebrate your birthday.
We're about to be together.
I know.
I haven't seen you in real life in almost 2 years.
No, that's not fucking true, is it?
Yes, it is.
Really?
Last time I saw you was January of 2022.
Are you fucking for reals?
It's 2024.
Okay. Weird. You know what it is?
It was 2021.
2023? No, it wasn't 2021. No. Yeah, no, I get you. That makes sense. Oh, my God. So how old is your pussy going to be?
Well, she really has the mind of a 19-year-old, but in physical dog years, she's going to be 37.
37? No, really? Oh, my God. I can't tell you how unreal that still feels, that you weren't even 20 years old when I met you. So that means you turned 20. Mm-hmm. Since I've known you, you've turned 30. Since I've known you, you've turned 30. Oh, my God. I was with you on your 21st birthday. That still makes me smile.
You sure were. That was one of my favorite. You've been with me on most of my birthdays, for the record.
That one
was one of my favorites, for sure. Because it wasn't like your typical 21st birthday. You took me to Providence. What was the fucking club we went to? I forget the name.
Some faggot ass
Hell?
Place.
Yeah, it was the place that has four floors, that each one has a different vibe.
Yeah.
Super fun. I got way too drunk. I got the spins. It was a whole thing. It was really fun. And then I blacked out and I didn't remember us getting home.
This isn't the trip you fucked somebody in the hallway, is it?
No, that was New Orleans. That was years later.
Oh, see, I got my Providence in New Orleans crossed. You know what? I like Providence. I think me and my partner went to the Providence bathhouse, which it's skeezy, but it is always one of the more hopping. I hope it's still open. Yeah, it probably is. Who knows? Anyway.
Yeah, I feel like COVID took a lot of bathhouses,
but who knows? It really, really, really did. It really did. And, some of them needed to go because they were, a fungal infection away from.
Welcome to our bathhouse. You're going to get athlete's foot and laid.
Exactly. I am disappointed that the New Orleans bathhouse closed, though. And I think that was a COVID takeout, down there, which,
That makes sense.
It does, especially if you're a vacation destination and that's when you really heat up. If you have nobody there for a couple years, it's probably impossible to, keep shit rolling. But anywho.
Hey, when you check into our Airbnb, can you make sure I get the room with the best light?
The best sunlight. What time's your flight come in?
Because I have to film. My flight's at 1. I get in at 6, but Friday's a shit show for flying, so there's probably going to be delays.
Okay.
If I were a betting woman. So.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, yeah. We like it pretty dark anyway, so,
Yeah. I need good sunlight for my filming, so.
Yeah. Totally. Got you. Got you. Yeah,
this is a really important random thought.
I know. By the way, we're just we're going through our check.
Really important shit right now.
That's what friends is all about.
Hell yeah, I'm excited. What are we gonna do while we're there? Anything fun?
I mean, we totally have to do fun things, and since so we've been watching the AMC Interview with a Vampire to kind of Oh, and the is it the Mayfair witches? I think it's the Mayfair witches, like, which are both like New Orleansy kind of fucking things to get the kind of NOLA juices flowing, if you will. Like the, everything with, like, you know, the vampire mystique, the voodoo Santa.
Voodoo.
voodoo. I feel like that's from, like, what is that from? I don't know. Anyways, so
It's in a song.
It is in a song.
Like, is it Lauryn Hill? I don't know.
No.
Oh, fucking, my brain is farting. I have no idea. No idea.
It's either that or it's like a weird Disney song of some sort. Like, I'm not really, but yeah. Anyways, this is gonna like stick with my high mind now. In the back of it, I'm gonna be like, I know what this song is. Yeah, so I think we should do something spooky, you know?
Yeah,
like,
let's do
spooky. It's very still, like, you know, got that fall energy, and like the temperature is really nice down there right now. So, you know, I think
it's actually cold. I'm pissed.
Well, it's like 76, right? During
no,
the day.
It's like 60 while we're there.
Oh, is it? Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm so upset. My friend that lives down there was like, oh yeah, it's not gonna be that hot. You're so lucky. And I'm like, no, I wanted. What are you talking about? I wanted it to be sweltering.
Oh, you're
like, now
right.
I have to pack a fucking jacket.
Oh my god, that's horrible.
I just noticed that.
Oh, you shouldn't have. I would have loved to be delusional instead. Oh well, that's okay.
I mean, 60 there does feel like 68, 69. You know, like, it doesn't feel like 60 up here or, like, where you are.
I hear you. But, yeah. I mean, it's still going to be 10 degrees colder here that weekend, so.
Yeah. And it's not, you know.
Whatever.
We're not going for, like, a beach, you know, so it's fine. But at the same time, I was like, god damn it.
Yeah, fuck. Okay, well, you know. You do what you
We're still
do.
Swimming in that goddamn pool. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, for sure. For sure. I mean, I'll polar bear express it or whatever. You know.
Polar plunge. Polar bear express.
Wait, what is... Oh, that's a movie, isn't it? Or something. No, it's not Polar Bear Express. Oh, my gosh.
Polar plunge.
Look, I'm a little sleep deprived. It's, you know... It's so weird at this college because... Everybody is really trying to get done everything before Thanksgiving.
Because it's like, I remember that.
And it's like the 28th, but like we come back and there's like kind of less than 2 weeks worth of classes. So it's always a weird semester to have this like kind of, even though it's not like a huge break, it's 2 fucking days off, you know? It's Thursday and Friday. And if you have like Monday, Wednesday classes, you didn't get anything off.
Right.
But anyway, I, however, had Monday, Wednesday classes and they gave them to me off. But like.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Yeah. It let me finish up everything I needed to finish up. So, you know.
Good.
Yeah. So, what I love about going to NOLA with you is that it's. Like, we've done it enough times now on, like, random occasions, too. Like, that weird work random trip that, like, we went down there. And, like, there's something, the energy is always good. It's always got, like, you know, the bars are nice. You know, you got that, like, slightly southern charm thing going on. Except for that one time you fought with that, like, that boy from Brooklyn.
But that was a transplant person. That wasn't...
That's true. Yeah, no.
That wasn't... you know, NOLA hospitality. That was just some douchebag from upstate New York.
Yeah. Oh, horrible. But yeah.
That was my only bad experience ever in New Orleans with like humans. That was literally the only bad experience. And it was some shithead from upstate New York, which is like hilarious. Yeah. So
I know. It's like, you can't go to a city like this, like that, and not have like some like fun loving patients to you. And like, I see it over the years as like more families try to invade, like, especially during their like, you know, busy season, you know, and it's like covering little Katie's eyes as they scurry by, like the debauchery on like Bourbon Street and whatnot. And it's like, this city cannot be a fun city for kids in general. There are just cities I'm not taking like my children, because I'm like, they don't drink, And they don't go to like the Hustler bar to see like pasties like flying around. And they don't go to the back room at the Phoenix. Like there's all sorts of things they're not going to. So you take them on a swamp tour to play with a gator. What are they doing the rest of the fucking trip? You know?
Well, and you can do that in Florida where it's way more kid focused.
Exactly.
Honestly. Exactly. I don't know, even remember ever seeing a child in New Orleans.
I know.
But all I know is I better not see a kid on Bourbon Street because my nips are going to be out. We're bringing them out. Okay.
Beautiful.
We're doing nipple time on Bourbon Street this year.
Nipple
so.
Time.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God. I love you. I'm so excited to see you. And, like, I've been, like, thinking about, like, friendship a lot because I recently connected with, like, an old friend who's known me since fourth grade. And, like, you know, it's – I think – every time there's a weird election like this or something dramatic, whether it's like COVID or whatever that happens in the world, you do get like this instinct of like, who are your people? Who are my people?
True.
Let me keep them close. I don't know what's going to happen, you know, and I'm like, I'm not super hyperbolic like that. But, you know, I do feel like times are rough and things feel unfortunate, you know, and in absence of like being able to like change that, like right this second, it's good to like have people around that like know you and care about you. And there's very few people left in this world that have known me since I was like 9 years old, you know, so it's
right.
always, you know, it's like one of those crazy things when you realize and you're like, when was the last time I saw you? Oh, and because I don't remember these things. She tells me you were 22. I'm like, wow, that's a couple of decades. What's up?
Like literally
yeah,
2 decades.
It's
holy
so
shit.
Weird. But like, you know, and I think, wow, it's almost been like, you know, the entirety of our friendship, you know, like
yeah.
this thing is like, and I like that, you know, no, that doesn't depress me or whatever. I think it's fantastic when you know people for many years and you can still laugh together in a room, you know, like.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm back. I don't know if I've already mentioned this, but I'm back on a group chat or not back on. I'm on a group chat with my friends from high school. And even when they're talking about stuff I don't even know, just like the energy of it, I'm like, damn, I love all these bitches. They are my people. And it's like we picked up where we left
yes.
off kind of thing. You know, like we don't skip a beat. And we all have the exact same personalities that we did in high school, which I love. Like not a single one of us has changed aside from like for the better in like life. But like not our person. Our personalities are exactly the same. We're still making the same fucking jokes. We're still goofing on the same shit. It's just...
I love that.
It's consistency that I needed. Like I needed yeah. to be reminded that not everybody has identity crises like every 5 minutes. And like...
No, it's true.
Like some people have figured out who they are by high school and that's who the fuck they are. And that's it, you know?
Yeah.
Like... You know, not a single one of us has, like, not that we would probably be, they wouldn't be in our group chat if they were, but, like, there's no MAGA people or, like, you know, like, sometimes we'll goof and be, like, which one of our old, like, quote-unquote friends is now on that side of things? And we can't think of anybody, like, in our friend group that is. It's all people that we didn't keep close. And that's, like, a testament to just us as people, which I like. I like that we've been consistently... same type of people.
I think
forever,
that shows
you know?
Good judgment, really. I mean, like,
right, that too. Yeah.
You know, I think that too. It's like family. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's got to be a MAGA
like
or two in there somewhere because you know we don't really have too much choice in that matter. But you know, with like friends, I you know, and it is crazy. You know, you pick up the phone, I'm like, this person sounds exactly the fucking same. We are making
that's
the
beautiful.
Same like you know and it's like oh that is nice you know and you like to think you have such a there's like a transporting of nostalgia into your past that can be kind of nice you know at least when it revolves mm-hmm. around friends like obviously there's stuff in the past that you know you want to stay in the fucking past sometimes don't bring that shit up you know and that's how I know like the toxic friends that you want to get rid of like sometimes it's like you know, certainly there have been people over the years that, like, they don't get me anymore. I don't get them anymore. And see ya. It don't gotta be nasty. It's just, yeah, we're not relatable. But, like, now I'm loving this, like, 40-something age group because I'm realizing a lot of people that, like, drifted away just because they had, like, kids and marriage and stuff, their kids are all fucking grown up now. And they're, like,
right,
you know,
yeah,
they're ready to live. Like, my friend said, I'm ready to get back to my life again. I'm like, that's awesome.
Right.
That's awesome.
They're, like, reemerging from having to take a little hiatus, which,
exactly,
you know, it's funny. The other day I tried to, like, put myself in the shoes of some of my friends that have children.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just like, how the fuck? Like, I was watching my friend Emily. She's a hoot. I was watching her story, and she's sitting there playing with her kid. Fucking adorable. I think she just turned one. Adorable one-year-old. Like, literally, I'm not a huge fan of children, but her kids are fucking adorable. And her baby is just so cute. And she's sitting there playing, and then, like, there's some TV show in the background, like Bluey or some fucking thing. And I'm just sitting there like, that, I don't know. Like, I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
If this wasn't like a part-time job, like, I just, like, that's your life. Like, when do you get to be an adult? Like, you really do lose I don't want to say that because I don't know what it's like.
No,
so I don't know.
But it's,
I just
very
mean, you
tough.
Have to juggle. You have to, like, yeah, juggle you being a human, like an adult human, with also having babies around. And right, it's just, I give so much credit to people that are parents because you really do have to, unfortunately, like, kind of mute a piece of yourself, even if it's just partially through the day. It doesn't have to be.
Keeping kids alive is no fucking small task, especially
in
today's
world. It's crazy.
Yeah,
like, you can't just throw them outside anymore, you know.
Did you hear about that woman who they arrested because the 10-year-old was, like, walking to the park in, like, rural, like, northwestern United States? Like, she was exhausted. It's a town of 360 people, and some, like, Karen there decided to, like, call the police. And, like, it was, like, everybody here knows us. Like, and, like, why can't a 10-year-old walk to the park? Like, in second grade, I had to walk a mile to school, literally. I know that sounds like an old man story, but literally, we walked a mile to school by ourselves. And
right,
it was a town of way more than 364 fucking people. This ended up all over CNN and stuff because, like,
oh my God.
Everybody is, like, kind of, like, exasperated. Like, when did this become, like, a thing? You know, because they're doing the whole, like, parental neglect charge on her. And
what?
Yeah, exactly. And it's kind of, like, a horrific kind of, like, thing.
That is so, first of all, that is classist as fuck, because there are so many kids that are latchkey kids that your parents are out working, and in order to have an enjoyable childhood, you have to walk with your feet places.
Yeah.
This is not a four-year-old walking down the street. This isn't a baby in a diaper walking to the park by themselves. This is a 10-year-old. And while not every 10-year-old is you know, street smart or aware enough to do that, I'm sure that parent made the decision to allow that to happen based on that kid specifically. When I was 10 years old, I was extremely, like, self-sufficient, you know. I took the bus home. I had to walk a half a mile. I walked a mile to my best friend's house when, you know, my other friends wanted to play. I walked to their house, which was, I lived in Worcester, Massachusetts, the second highest fucking populated city in New England.
Right.
It was, and, you know, are there dangerous moments? Yeah, that's life, though. That, like, what is
well, and, like, shelter,
10 years old,
shelter,
oh my God. I was babysitting at 10.
A kid can't play outside without supervision anymore or wait at the bus stop.
Right.
Like, what are, like, we're set, and this is why fucking adults have to wear Velcro now because, like, there's no independence of you know what I'm saying? Like, the things we are training human beings not to know how to do anymore. And, like, I really loved it because they had an expert on that said, you know, this is really, these kind of things really do make children really deficient by the time they hit their adulthood because they haven't experienced any level of independence and therefore everything gives them anxiety, you know?
I would say that your kid is far less safe having a fucking computer or phone or whatever in their hand than your kid walking down the fucking street in a small fucking suburb.
Yeah, that point was made too, yeah.
And I will say this, a lot of people are like, well, the times are different, things are fucked up these days or whatever. First of all, times are only different because of things like, you know, people pulling out their phones and witnessing the things that you have an issue with.
Right.
You know, like if people had fucking cameras in their hands when we were little, we would all be getting in trouble for all sorts of fucking different things because we were all allowed to do things that are quote unquote not okay. Right.
Totally.
And the fact is that things are way safer now in a lot of places because everybody has a fucking Ring camera outside their damn house.
Well, and
if your kid goes missing, there's 25 fucking pieces of footage going down the road that
CCTV,
shows you where they fucking
totally.
Got lost to begin with. And I'm not saying that means just let your kid go out whenever. Obviously, we have to have some kind of rules in place, but like,
but isn't this
it just doesn't make sense to me. It's things are safer now because there's fucking eyes everywhere, including Karen's.
And isn't this why the fucking people move to the godforsaken fucking suburbs to begin with? Because like cities are too scary for children. Well, like, if literally they stay in a house in the middle of fucking nowhere, like, I don't know. And when you read, like, it's just, I now understand so much. I mean, and I know, like, the society has been kind of going this way a lot. You can't leave a kid in the car for 2 minutes out in the grocery store or somebody is, like, calling the police or whatever. And it's just, I love all you righteous warriors out there. If you truly cared about kids, you would, like, let them function in a more healthy way with some level of independence. Like, you're part of the problem at this point. And like,
if you had such a problem with it, Miss has nothing better to do with her time, why don't you pick the kid up and drive them to the fucking park yourself?
Yeah.
What the I don't understand. Like, none of that computes in my brain as this is the best solution. And also, okay, so what happens now? The woman's charged, the kids get taken away. Did you realize that foster parents, the number one goal is reunification?
Yeah.
So, like, first of all, you're putting kids in a system that now the kid is probably going to get abused in some kind of fucking way because we all know that that shit happens. Like, you're giving the kid the least. I honestly would be like, if I truly saw something that I was like, this is jarring. You're in a small town. Figure out who the mom is and go have a conversation and just be like, listen, it's not safe, blah, 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 whatever. It's still butting into people's business. But to call the fucking cops because a 10-year-old who is about to go into middle school can't walk down the fucking street.
Well, and,
I'm sorry.
No,
like, that's
but
insanity.
What's
imagine that in New York City. Imagine that in New York City.
I know. What's what's even worse is that it's one thing. Go ahead, call the cops. But when you get there and hear, like, the story, you arrest? Like, you arrest?
Right.
Like, you don't have to enforce. Like, what? Under what statute does it say there's an particular age that your kid can't walk to the park by themselves? Like, what are you enforcing here? So bizarre. Anyways, and I'm glad it, like, started a larger context of conversation. Like, what do you expect working parents to do? Like, you know, how are we supposed to navigate watching them all the time and more is required and more is, like, asked of you on top of, like, providing, on top of, you know, needing to be dual income households if you're two parents. And, you know, just the unrealistic reality that, like, you can afford to be up in your fucking kid's business all the time.
Right.
Anyway, so, yeah, I thought these are the weird things, and I understand some of the behaviors and some of these like there was one of these students that couldn't figure out how to get on Zoom, and it was like, you know, in your head, you're like, how is that even possible? And then secondly, you do know the world, like, is functioning off of Zoom right now. Like, I know 70-year-old, like, corporate people that know how to connect to Zoom. And, you know, like, this should be easy for a 23-year-old to figure out. Like, it's just, you know, and they want, like, walk-through instructions. Like, I'm just, like, so confused. You have the answers in your fucking literal fingertips now. Is it, like, you don't know what question to ask? You know?
Yeah, I do. So I find that with every generation, certain skills phase out.
Yeah.
So, you know, our generation, or I'll say, I don't want to be a dick, but like your generation knew how to use a map. Mm. My generation knows how to slightly use a map.
You know what a map looks like.
Right. But like I know how to use a map because we had MapQuest instead of, you know, like when I started to drive, you had printed off directions that half the time didn't make sense. And you actually had to pull the map out and look at it and be like, oh, so if I go down this road and take a left and take a right and take a right, then
totally,
I'm there.
Totally.
So, you know, that's just an example. Like there's certain things that are eventually phased out because it's just obsolete now.
Right.
Problem solving in general, because the younger generation is not used to needing to think about things without having the answer given to them, whether it's through Google, it's through relying on other people that are older, whatever that might be. And so there's two types of like the younger generation. One is so savvy that they can learn anything because they're like, I'll YouTube it. Hello, no shit. And then the other version of that generation, which is like, I wouldn't even know how to begin the steps of problem solving this thing. Even though I grew up on my phone and I know that all the answers live on my phone,
right.
I still don't know. Like, I don't think of that as a way to solve the problem. I just need it fed to me. Yeah. And I think that, you know, slowly over time, you know, I knew how to pick up an encyclopedia and a dictionary and use the Dewey Decimal System and things that were, you know, that was your Google. You didn't have fucking Google. Yeah. You had a word processor. You had a typewriter. You had things like that. And so, you know, if you bring like a new generation kid to a public library, they're probably going to be savvier about using like the computer system to figure out where their book is, but will be savvier to use the Dewey Decimal System, etc. But the problem is that the problem solving in general has just become so like unnecessary. It's almost just like, well, you'll always have your phone, you'll always have Google to figure out things. So instead of teaching you critical skills like how to solve for X, if you will, instead you're just going to be expect, like, you're fine, you don't need to know it. So we're not going to teach you how to get from step A all the way to step H. We're just going to teach you that you can go from, you know, K to A. Yeah, it's fucking, it's weird.
And
I think it's a strange, like, it feels like another dimension, you know? Like,
no, for sure. And I think, like, in tandem with that is, you know, problem solving and like self-soothing and all of these things that go with like conflict resolution. Basically, there's like a bubble that like keeps being created where, like, you know, we don't have to see conflict, we don't have to deal with conflict, and therefore, but like when there's conflict, what do you do? I mean, I see exasperation sometimes. It's like, I can't believe that something isn't working out the way I wanted to. Oh, really? Oh, man. Next 20 years is going to be a fucking bitch, man. I hear you. I hear you.
Oh, shit.
And I feel like we all definitely become acquainted with that lesson at some point, you know, but like, hence, like, teaching the skills and like weaving in that self-sufficiency to be able to handle your shit. But, you know, what? It's like, I keep like trying to go with this adapt and adjust principle, you know, like talking to my friend. She's like, it's really hard sometimes to interact with new people because, you know, there's something like missing with people these days sometimes. And I'm like, I hear you.
It's true.
And I'm sitting there and like, I get along with just about everybody. It doesn't mean I'm going to go on vacation with them. It doesn't mean like we're going to talk often, but I tend to have like a lot of tolerance and adjusting for the way people can be these days, you know? And I'm just saying, it's like, it's more about, you know, when you are raised a certain way. And I do think, unfortunately, this is what happens with older and younger people of every generation. You lose that middle space of like how to communicate and how to like interact because you let that space grow, you know? And it's like, I am happy to be in college and, you know, feel a little bit like Phil on Modern Family, that I know the latest lingo. Like everybody is saying bet now, like B-E-T, bet, you know? And I'm like, and it's, the context doesn't, like, the word doesn't, it doesn't make sense. Like, I get what it means in the sense it's like, okay, or hell yeah, or whatever, or
word.
Right. But I'm like, but
which
bet,
also didn't make sense.
Which also didn't make sense. Right. Right. I mean, like, word got shortened from, like, word up. Right. Like these affirmations. And right. then they got, and I'm like, did that happen to bet? I feel like I missed something in the bridge to this being something that people say, you know? And I see it so often now that I'm like, okay. And it's like how I know I'm talking to younger people because nobody in my peer group or older says bet. You don't say, I don't get a message from you that says bet. Shit, we still say shit from the 90s. So, you know, it's
yeah.
like,
it's, I mean, I've always spoken, like, I always have used terminology that was like decades before my time.
Yeah.
You know,
when we were like talking about that, like the school is having some Harry Potter something themed thing in the student union building with like little tables, and I don't know if people are dressing up. I feel like it's a trivia thing or something. Anyways, so I'm like thinking like, really? You know, this is kind of like, these kids are kind of too young for Harry Potter already, you know,
right.
in the sense that like, those first books or whatever, these kids weren't born yet when they first started coming out.
Yeah, I was young when they came out. Yeah.
But then I realized, okay, the whole like Fantastic Beasts, like the like second wave, and like this is like, that woman is a nasty woman, but like she's been smart enough to like get herself relevant with like yet another generation by, you know, extending her brand.
Well, and they have the fucking Harry Potter world at Disney and all that kind of shit. And like there's Disney is like Disney adults is a whole thing. So
and the licensing for these things, it's everywhere. Like no matter whether it's Halloween, Thanksgiving or Christmas, all 7 million Harry Potter movies are always available somewhere streaming. Like,
7 million. they do put you in like, it is a wintry mood because of like the snow and the school and the fireplaces.
Yeah,
and, you
it's
know,
got a coziness to it. Yeah, no, yeah. I get that. I get that. And it's, you know.
But she's a fucking cunt, so fuck supporting Harry Potter in that franchise.
She is a fucking cunt.
You won't ever catch me talking about, I put on Harry Potter today, or dressing up like fucking Gryffindor. Like, keep that shit to yourself. That's embarrassing. You know, I like when people are like, well, this was so meaningful to me. And I'm like, yeah, and it's just as meaningful to your trans friends to not hear about you liking something from the fucking cruelest transphobe on earth.
Yeah.
How about just shut the fuck up about
exactly.
it? You know, like,
exactly.
I keep my, once something that I once enjoyed artistically is attached to something fucked up. If I still enjoy that thing, which I'll stop giving it money, but if I still enjoy it secretly,
totally.
It's secretly for a reason, you know?
Well,
keep your shit to yourself.
And again, like, it's always like the conversation goes, you know, because this discussion comes all the time with like Woody Allen, right? It's
right, exactly.
I love Woody Allen movies. Okay. But, like, maybe just don't lead that way, you know? Like, if you like something and feel the need to talk
about it. Yeah, just name a couple of the fucking movies you like.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, like, oh, Woody Allen, he's great. No, Woody Allen is not great. You can like his, what he's produced and what he's put out there because, you know, for whatever reason. But you don't, like, you can still shun the man and shun the person and, like, the right. You know, it's... It's all part of that, like, all or none, like, reality. But it's also about, like, understand the difference. Because when you're like, oh, I don't care, I love his stuff too much, or I don't care, I love her stuff, that's not the way to go. You can care, and you can like it, you know? Hemingway was a drunken, probably wife-beating asshole. I still like Hemingway, you know, like, I still like to read some Hemingway. I'm not gonna, like, toss out Andy Warhol. I pretty much believe was, like, drugging every young man that came to his, like, apartment pad. I'm not a real fan of Andy Warhol, but, like, I can still like his art, you know? There's that, like, Jackson Pollock was an asshole. I like his, you know, like, Picasso was, like, a horrible motherfucker, you know? So it just put the line up. Don't glorify the human. You can enjoy the art without glorifying the human.
Yeah, you don't hear people walking around like, oh, I love Harvey Weinstein films. Like, oh, my
God. Jesus Christ. I know. And, like, you know, because they produce so much shit, there's a lot of stuff you would have to, like, avoid if you're really trying to be, like, a loyalist like that. Which is cool. If you're, like, all about it, by all means, boycott as much as you want to boycott. That doesn't keep the assholes from already doing what they have done. But, you know, I hear you. So.
Yeah. Well, at least boycott talking about it. How about that?
There you go. There you go. So, I was, like, so... Because I've had, and I know I've talked about this before, this, like, hernia thing, I've been, like, wicked paranoid about getting plowed. So I recently decided, fuck it, because I'm going to punch a wall. Because it's, whoa, I just got some traffic noise up in here. Because it's been so long since I got plowed. So it was fantastic. I sat, like, oh, so you know, happy. A scene, and I followed through with it, and, like, it felt good, and I was able, because that's the thing, when you're getting fucked, if you can't relax, it's kind of not enjoyable for anybody. You're, like, clenching too tight, which, like, I know everyone, I love those tight holes, but, like, that is not, but fucking a tight hole, it's not super comfortable as you may think it is. Like, you want them to be able to
relax. There's
a
difference between a tight hole that's extremely elastic and a tight hole that is not.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
One has a lot more. It's like putting on stretchy jeggings versus putting on really tight jeans.
Well, and it's one thing to clench a couple of times to be playful, like, back there, you know, like, hey, sure. I know you're all up in there. Hi. And it's another to, like, be clenched the whole time and be like, no, you're not going anywhere. I'm suffocating you. That's my really graphic description. I pictured, like, the reality of, like, maybe someday there being, like, you remember those cartoons, like, or anime, I don't want to say cartoons, they were, like, animated biological sex kind of shows. Did you ever watch any of those in sex ed where they kind of, like, do, like, an animated, like, but it's like an animated drawing of, like, the penis going into the vagina and, like, you know, to show, like, you never saw it? So California was pretty,
no,
like,
the only video I
time.
Remember in sex ed was watching the baby being birthed. That's, like, the only video I remember. I'm sure we watched other shit. We watched Degrassi.
Oh, wow. Degrassi is pretty good, but wow,
like,
they,
80s Degrassi.
I feel like showing, like, that's twisted. Showing, like, a baby birth is really about, like, don't ever have sex because this could happen.
Yeah, and
to
the
you.
Best part is that we had a fucking daycare on site. So what was the point? You're not doing anything. Like, as much as, like, and I'm not shaming because I don't give a fuck what you got going on down in your fucking nether regions, but the one thing I remember the most was that the pussy was so hairy, that when the head was coming out, I couldn't determine the difference between like the head and the pussy. And I was just so like, this is not my favorite.
The baby's like, wearing a little wig, a little curly wig for a second.
Yeah. And like, listen, people like my bush porn. I don't give a fuck. I don't shave all the time. That's fine. I don't, that has nothing to do with how I feel, but like, it's jarring in and of itself. Right.
Uh-huh.
But to see, and like, I understand the natural state of a fucking vulva is hairy, but like, I didn't even have hair down there yet. So like, it was just jarring in general. Like I was, I hadn't hit puberty yet. And I'm looking at the first time I see a woman's vagina opening, it's to see a baby's head fucking coming out this hairy, what looks now I associate hairy pussy with messy pussy, which is not true.
Right,
blame that fucking video. I blame that video for me and making that association, because it's the first time I saw a hairy pussy. It's the first time I saw a pussy expanded, and it's the first time, and it was a baby coming out of it bloody.
There's always
just not. Don't even know adults to this day that would be like, yeah, I would love to watch a close-up shot of a head crowning.
There's
delish.
There's definitely like a vulgarity to it. My favorite description of that is always from like one of Margaret Cho's like things. I think it was her sister or her cousin was having a baby and was like, come in with me and like watch. And like, you know, she's watching. And then like, you know, she builds this up and then she's like, and I see it crying. And then all of a sudden her fucking pussy exploded.
And
you know the horror that she like conveys, she's like, no thank you, no thank you, I'm good, nope.
Yeah, like honestly, like I'm surprised they didn't show us like one that needed an episiotomy. Like I'm not even kidding, like why don't you just show us all of the horror of what giving birth, like, it was stupid. It was just, it didn't help anything. Everybody that was going to get pregnant got pregnant. Anybody that wasn't going to didn't. And that was it.
Well,
you know,
and because all they're teaching, all most of these schools are teaching is like reproductive and like the biological aspects of the human body, sex organs and whatever. But it's like, it's so benign. And it's why nobody knows how to do anything. I mean, let's be real. I know I've complained about it before, but I really was hoping we would get to a point where like, you know, there would be some understanding, like young queer boys would know what their fucking prostate was and like how that functions.
Right.
And like, you know, certainly inspired us to do tons of podcasts about cleaning rituals, because like these are things that are questions and there is no, you know, easy archive. And like, yes, the problem with the online now is that you Google something for an answer and you get a million answers. And like 97% of them are wrong.
Right. Yeah. I can't tell you how many, you know, we were taught STIs. We were taught this and that, blah, blah, blah. And I remember like being great at that class because I already knew everything because I had an older sister. She just explained things to me. She would be talking about something I asked her. She explained it, whatever. I just remember being the girl everybody came to be like, hey, should I be douching before sex? Or I have a weird bump. Can you like look at it? Yeah. Or I'm feeling, you know, things that you should be taught in your fucking health class. And I wasn't. We were not taught. We were given like pictures of like we were shown like Philadelphia and given like pictures of six STIs and like this is what herpes looks like. You can't get rid of it. Like let's just mortify everybody.
Yeah.
You know, it's just,
I mean,
I understand safe sex is the best sex, all that shit. Teach us how to put a condom on a banana, whatever the fuck you want to do. But also just hygiene and like cleanliness. Like it was just brushed over. It was never, you know, and if you want to clean your ass, if you want to clean your vagina out, it was never anything that was like practical, you know, it
never
was
anything practical.
Your vagina sometimes will have different smells to it.
Right.
This is what that means. Let's teach the boys that too, so that they don't think that because something has a scent, it's disgusting. Right. You know,
I mean, I would have like practical.
It was disappointing.
Practical information, like what's the best way to clean the sperm off your stomach when you're masturbating seven times a day? Because, like, the shower? No bueno. It gets, like, weird and congealed. Like, I mean, practical stuff. Like paper towels. Yeah, okay, but not really.
It's like, not great for the environment.
It's not. Like, you know, buy. I mean, and like, it's. I know it's like the progressive whatever, but like, if I had a teenager, I would just buy them like a 10 pack of fucking cloths or a 20 pack of cloths and just like, here you go, you know? Or like some of that like new disposable stuff. Because then what happens? You like, it's just like you're setting yourself up for an embarrassing encounter.
Yeah, either your mom is doing your fucking laundry and cleaning up your jizz socks. Or you have to get a plumber because the drain is fucking completely full of sputum. That's the wrong word, but you know what I'm trying to say.
I mean, it took me years to figure out the path of least resistance was to just fucking jizz into the toilet. Like, super easy, super, like, efficient, if you will. But, like, I couldn't come in that position until I was older. Like, it's weird. Like, the way our bodies are and the way we get used to our bodies, like, requiring different, like, things, you know, but that would have been nice to hear too. Not like, oh, I'm a freak because
you know,
I have to jerk
nice
off
to
face
hear,
down, ass up. You know,
if you're gonna teach us to like have either safe sex or you know abstinence or whatever, teach us also then how to pleasure ourselves.
Yeah.
That sounds wrong, but I just mean like, you know, when we're going over masturbation, you can go over. You know, there are options for masturbation. You do not necessarily have to penetrate yourself. You can hump a pillow.
Right.
However you make that age appropriate is however you make, you know,
absolutely.
I don't necessarily know the answer to that.
No, but there are plenty of people that
it
do.
It would have been really nice to not hear, to not think that I was a fucking weirdo.
Right.
Because for the longest time, I thought I was weird because I like to get off in like a humping fashion. Meanwhile, fast forward 10 years, I'm sitting around with all my fucking vagina having friends and they're like, yeah, that's how I get off, you know? And it's just why were we not?
Yeah,
I guess teaching people how to masturbate isn't the right way to word it, but like options, like explain options, explain that it doesn't make you a fucking freak if this is how you masturbate, or I don't know.
I know.
Well, there's a lot in the sex education system that's fucked up.
Then you go out and hear the weird things like guys like that, like jerk off into their mouth. Like, oh, that's mm-hmm. easy cleaning too. I get it. But like, you're like, what? That's even an option? How does that even work? That requires some level of flexibility. I'm not sure I have. And aim, for that matter. When I'm about to come, aiming is not, you know, and I've certainly like over the years been with guys who have like, you know, could you just like be careful where you get it? It's like, okay, you're one of those. Okay, sure. I'll be careful. If you put your mouth over it, that will solve the problem. You know?
Right.
But, you know, if you're really concerned about where it lands. Anyway. No, but like, you know, I say it because, you know, you do dream of like a beautiful world where like, people are encouraged to like experience safe and healthy pleasure, you know, God forbid, mm-hmm. you know, yeah, I like a free and equal world and a liberated world too, all of those things. But, you know, our bodies are like one of the things we have the most like locus of control over. Well, except for women these days. Sorry, girls. It's rough fucking times.
Bad joke.
I know.
You're like, except for you bitches out there.
I mean, obviously, I don't mean ha ha ha. Gotcha. I wanted, before I forget, bring up this thing. So this like, so you know how like there's this weird trend about like straight guys saying like we have like control over your bodies now or something like that.
Yeah,
something like
yeah,
that.
Your body, my choice.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. So I've noticed queer men start to do this and direct it towards straight men. Gentlemen, this is not the answer.
Stop it.
You don't fight non-consensual behavior with more non-consensual
behavior.
That is ridiculous. I know you're feeling all vital and righteous right now, but this is not the way to go about it. Because at first I was like, oh, it's a one-off, but I'm seeing too many fucking people do it. And it's like, it's to me, it's like the whole thing. If there's going to be prayers in schools, we're going to tax you. You hear this like every time this issue like comes up. Okay, cool, but not. Like, you're saying, you're like, go ahead and let prayer in school and we're going to tax you for it. No, fuck that. Like, don't do that and don't do that.
Right.
No, you don't own women's bodies. And no, I don't have to say I own your body as a rebuttal. Like, this, it will create an insane backlash. And it's the wrong message to send out. This is like eye for an eye philosophy. But it's even worse than that because you're indulging in this thing that not just straight men have an issue like pulling off, and that is consent-based sexuality. Like,
right.
This is a human-wide issue. Don't indulge like the rhetoric for it.
What would you say if you witnessed, say we're in New Orleans this weekend and some guy gets mouthy with me and says, your body, my choice. What's your reaction to that in real life?
That is a really good question. I mean, my reaction is disgust, you know, and obviously I've been known to get nasty when like people come after my friends. You know, it's, you know, when you respond to these things, it's like very much about what kind of person is saying that and what can I like what insecurity of theirs can I hone on? I made that kid cry in the end, like that picked on you last time in New Orleans.
Yes, you sure did.
because I get the instinct. The instinct is like, oh yeah, well, you know, like some kind of like response. But like I would think it would be to like shame them loudly about how disgusting. You do understand you're proposing like raping my friend out loud in public. Like, pretty sure that's a huge fucking problem, you know? And I think it's like when they try to get it off, like, it's about, you know, only with my friends that I know who can handle it, like creating a scene and getting like more people to like be like, what the fuck? You know, because we do have to do this. The first time that asshat got elected, I couldn't believe like the racist rhetoric that seemed to now be okay to be coming out of people's mouths. Mm-hmm. And like really calling it out in public and realizing, okay, it is that one odd asshole still. It's not everyone, because other people were horrified of hearing it, you know, and had also a response for them once they were made aware of it. So I don't think a civil quote unquote society, despite like the rhetoric online, will still put up with this kind of nastiness towards human beings or women in the like real public sphere. It's a one safe place to be able to hide behind your screen at home. It's another to bring that shit out into public. So
yeah, I can just see you like grabbing the person by the collar and like pulling them off their feet and being like, want to say that again?
Yeah.
Repeat yourself louder.
I
like getting a microphone.
I do have like a prone instinct to like want to like beat up assholes, like for sure. Like it is.
I know. I've never seen you get into a physical altercation.
I try to keep myself in check, you know, especially like as you get older, you're like, oh, do we have bail money for this? Like,
right, yeah.
How many hours is this going to take? Am I going to miss dinner? So much for getting my dick sucked later. Oh, well, actually, maybe jail. Who knows? Anyway. Actually, I might get in a physical altercation this time. I still have yet to experience jail sex. Anyway, kidding aside, but I love you and I can't wait to see you and I can't wait to have
more
deliciously fun conversations.
Maybe we'll record while we're there and you guys can get a live from New Orleans episode.
Live from New Orleans, it's The Screw.
Yeah, let's do it.
Beautiful.
All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you post-birthday.
Yes. All right. Be well.
I don't drink anymore. My liver is already in pain, even just thinking about New Orleans. So. Yep.
Hurricanes, here we come, baby.
Oh, can't wait. Fuck yeah. All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.